The word of God which we'll consider today is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. There we read verses 34 through 46. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. So far the words. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, in these days leading up to the coming election, we're being reminded of just how rough and even brutal the political process can be for someone who's running for office. The candidates have to consent to some pretty intense and pretty internal sort of examination and investigation, during which the slightest slip of the tongue or the smallest misstatement or the most ridiculous thing they did in college can come back and haunt them and can possibly end their prospects for election, maybe ending their political career altogether. On the occasion of our text, Jesus was being pressed hard by his principal opponents, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. In alternating order, they sent their most articulate spokesmen against him with provocative and dangerous questions. The Pharisees in our text launched this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" By their legalistic accounting, the rabbis had found 613 separate commandments in God's law. So they're asking which of them all is the most important. Whichever one Jesus selected as being chief among all of those regulations could easily lead to the charge that he was disrespecting and downplaying all the others. This same question had become the subject of a very difficult and bitter conflict among the theologians, and now Jesus was being drawn into the fight, and his opponents hoped that they could injure his reputation among the people by forcing him to answer one way or another. So how would he answer this question, which is the greatest commandment? He responded by siding not with the Sadducees or the Pharisees, but with Moses. As Moses summarized the law God had given him on Sinai, he spoke the inspired words which Jesus here quotes: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Can you see what resides in another person's heart? Can you determine with certainty anything about your neighbor's soul? Do you have the ability to read someone's mind? The answer, of course, is no. The heart and the soul and the mind are invisible aspects of our lives. We can easily conceal our thoughts and feelings from those around us. We can pretend the opposite of what's going on inside. But we can't do that with God. Nothing is invisible to God. He sees into our hearts and our souls and our minds just as easily as we can look at a tree and know what kind it is, or at a dog and know what breed it is. What does God demand then when he looks into our hearts and souls and minds? Love. The Pharisees were focused on the outward things, and they rendered judgments about others based on outward external behavior. They thought if they obeyed certain rules that God would be favorable towards them. So they strictly followed and enforced laws about what to eat and about what to wear and how to observe the Sabbath day and other festival days. Here, though, Jesus draws their glance inside and reminded them that the greatest commandment calls for consistent love for God within our hearts and our souls and our minds. It's in the title, Jesus Spoke, that we find the motivation to love God as we should. And the title, The Lord Your God, the Lord, or Yahweh in the original language, deserves our adoration, for with that name, he identified himself as the never-changing God who calls fallen sinners back into a relationship with himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. His name is descriptive, then, of his love for us. That love is the only thing that can elicit our own love for him in return. Here, Jesus makes himself known as being not only truly human like us, but also true God. In questioning the questioners in front of him, Jesus quotes Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then Jesus followed up, if David calls him Lord, how is he his son? The point is, Jesus is man and Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. As the eternal word made flesh, he is love personified. The unconditional love he has for us drove him all the way to the cross, where he willingly sacrificed his own holy body and poured out his own precious lifeblood for the wiping away of all of our sins. The title God also helps us understand him and love him as we should. That name teaches us that he is the true God having all power, and that he uses that power not to condemn us, to destroy us for our sins. He uses it for us on our behalf, for our good. It's in those blessed names, Lord God, that we find the motivation to want to love him with all of our hearts and minds and souls. Again, it's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is himself Lord and God, that these words are so meaningful and inspiring and life-giving. So John the Apostle said, we love because he first loved us. So God's first and greatest commandment is that we should love him like we love no one or nothing else. It's in Christ that we find the power and the will to do that. For it's Christ alone who kept this commandment perfectly every day of his life. It's Christ who offered up on the cross the holy sacrifice which has paid in full for all of the times you and I have failed to love God as he commands. Jesus took away our guilt for all those occasions we fell in love with the wrong things and devoted ourselves to the pursuit of idols such as money, or pleasure, or status among our peers. Where and how do we show this love by which we adequately respond to the love supreme, the love greater than any other we could name? Jesus told his inquisitor, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Our love for God shows itself in our love for each other. That's how we demonstrate that we ourselves are loved by God. The Apostle John wrote, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." It's in our attitudes, our behavior, our conduct toward one another that we imitate God's love for us. That's why no one could dispute with Jesus when he presented to them both love for God and love for the neighbor as being the single great commandment. The two go together in seamless order. One is not found without the other. God's love is over all other kinds of love, and we show that we've been touched by it in our own patient, self-giving, sacrificial love for one another. Jesus Christ didn't come to win an election. He came to win our approval before God by living for us in perfect fulfillment of the entire law. He didn't have to pass any man-made criteria or win any popularity contest in order to be our Savior. He was appointed to that role and office from eternity. He knew he had come to give his life on the cross for our salvation. The crowd who witnessed this exchange that day became impressed with Jesus. In fact, Matthew summarized their feelings perhaps by saying no one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. You and I ought to be impressed too with our Lord's words and his performance. Even more though, let us be in love with him who is our Lord and God. His love for each of us has saved us from our sins, and it drives us to love him back with all of our hearts and minds and souls, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, shall be forevermore. Amen. And we continue now as we sing hymn 488, 1 through 5.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have taught us this clear summary of the divine law. Even more, we thank you for taking away our sins against that law with your own holy and innocent life lived in our stead, and your suffering and death for us on the cross, where you paid for all our transgressions. Help us always to express our gratitude for your gift of salvation by loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. In your name we ask it. Amen. Please rise now as we sing verses 6 through 10 of hymn 488. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.